God's word this morning is coming from the book of Colossians, beginning at verse 8 and reading through the end. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us and to it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect to a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward, in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen and vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, and handle not, which all shall perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a shew of wisdom, in will worship, in humility, in neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Praise be unto God for the reading and hearing of his precious and his eternal word. We are confronted this morning with some of the most powerful theology and the most powerful scriptures in the world, not just for a little bit, but for all time and all eternity. The operative word here is fullness. And I want to talk to you about that just a minute. You have to think, you say, oh, he's going to preach a sermon on the Godhead. No, I'm not going to preach a sermon on the Godhead, but I'm going to tell you something wonderful about the Godhead. I'm going to tell you that all of God that there can be was in Jesus Christ. Now, that's a good notion, isn't it? Now, let me tell you something else. All of Jesus Christ that can be is in you. If the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ, then the fullness of God dwells in the believer. You are full of the Holy Ghost. You are full of God. Isn't that a great thought? You say, well, how could I be full of God? How could you be any other way? You see, I almost titled this message, instead of just reading right out of the scripture and saying you are complete in him, I started to say everything you need to be saved is in Jesus. Now, the Colossian church was facing a crisis, and it's amazing to me how quick that people left the truth. It's amazing to me how quick people started substituting their thoughts for the Word of God. It's amazing to me how quick that people started insinuating into the Christian faith things that came from outside the faith. And I see a lot of that going on today. Theologically, in the school, one of the horrible things that's caused us to be so liberal and to stray away from the scriptures is to allow our seminaries and our from our church schools to be filled with doubters. People believe in their doubts and doubt in their beliefs. And it's sad that that's true. But my friend, think about this. Are you saved? You're completely and totally saved. You can't be a little bit saved. You can't be just say, well, I've got my little finger saved, and the rest of me's not saved yet. It don't work that way, my friend. If you've been born again, if you've been changed by the power of God, you, my friend, are full of God. The fullness of God dwells in Christ, but the fullness of Christ dwells in you. And all that God has, and think about it, folks, how God laid it on the line just for you. All of the heathen religions, and I went through that this morning reading what Muhammad said and what Buddha said, what other people had said that are outside of Christ, and none of them came up with anything like what God did in Bethlehem. When that baby was born, my friend, and stretched its arms and legs out and squalled, and the living God came into this world through the womb of the Virgin, my friend, God had laid everything he had on the line. Everything to do with the deity of God and who he is and what he is, my friend, was in that cradle, in that stable in Bethlehem. Everything that God had in heaven and in earth and in the universe, he laid on the line on Calvary's cross. Everything that God had, my friend, and everything that was of God, my friend, suffered the agony of Calvary and suffered the agony of all the things that people went through and what horrible things that happened to him, my friend. But I want you to know that he, did you notice that scripture? He made a show of them openly. You say, how do you mean he made a show of them? Well, I don't know if you noted it, but if you think about it, our planet has been invaded by aliens from out yonder. And you say, well, who's that? Well, I'm talking about the powers and principalities of darkness. You see, the powers and principalities of darkness, my friends, live in the air around this earth, and they're in the air. All of those deposed angels and seraphim and cherubim and all of the things that's happened, my friend, are in the air, the atmosphere surrounding this earth. And yet, my friend, when Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived a sinless life, born of a virgin, died a horrible death, raised on Easter Sunday morning, a glorious resurrection, my friend. And when he stepped out of that tomb and off of the Mount of Olives from talking to the disciples that morning and walked across the Milky Way and up the golden staircase of heaven and through the pearly gates, my friend, into the city of God, and walked up that golden avenue and presented himself a human body, sacrificed in front of the throne of the Almighty God in heaven. My brothers and sisters, everything in the universe began to shake. When he passed through the atmosphere, my friend, the devil said, look out, here he comes. Oh, my friend, he had got victory over death, hell, and the grave. And here stood a human body. Here stood a human body. One who had blood running in his veins. One who had had pain in its nerves. One that had been slapped and rejected. One that had nursed at its mother's breast. And in every way been a human being. Tempted in all points as we are. That one, my friend, that one who was the one who came from glory. The God of the universe manifested in the human flesh. And God did not withhold anything. He did not withhold part of deity in heaven and send part of deity to earth. God was not a split personality, my friends, but God gave all he had to us on Calvary. And when he gave it all to us, that made us heirs with him, joint heirs with Christ. My friend, anything that God has for Christ and in Christ, you have this morning. I was amazed the first time I noticed that scripture that said, as God loved Christ, so God loved you. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that God, our Father in heaven, loves you just as much as he loved the Lord Jesus Christ? He did. He gave Christ for you. He let him die on the cross for you. And the fullness, this God-man that was here on this earth, within whom the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. See, the people in Colossae had been taken over by a false doctrine. This false doctrine said that the flesh was evil, the spirit was good. So that there was no way that God the Spirit could have ever been in a human body, in human flesh. Let me tell you something. That's the great miracle of the Godhead. That's the great miracle of who God is. You know what it is? That God was manifested in the flesh. That God veiled himself in human flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the Holy Scripture says. My brothers and sisters, you are complete in him. They will say, you see what they were saying at Corinth. You notice how often he kept going down through there and he would say, let no man beguile you. Let no man beguile you. Don't be fooled by anybody. Don't let anybody take the joy away from your salvation. Don't let anybody take the joy away from your heart. Why? Don't you think that everything that you're in your salvation depends on things you do? Everything in your salvation, my friend, depends on what he did. You're not saved because you're perfect. You're saved because he was perfect. And my friend, you're saved this morning not because you keep certain feasts or certain days, not because you do certain religious observances, but my friend, you're saved this morning because you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you accept the gift of salvation that came down from heaven to you through him. And that's all that saves you, my friend. That's all that saves you. Nothing but the blood. What did we used to sing? Go ahead, give God a hand clap. What did we sing? What can wash away my sins? What can make me whole again? Oh, that old hymn's for sure right, isn't it? That's exactly what it is, my friend. And you're not a little saved this morning. Don't you believe the devil? You know, I can remember the day, and some of you here can join with me in remembering. I can remember the day when we break one little church rule, and there we'd go back up to the altar, and they'd pray over us and cry, and Granny Effie used to say, and snot over us. And I guess her nose was running when she was praying or something. And they would come, and I'm sorry, I'm just walking right out of the line of vision here. Should have had one of those tricks in a tent meeting when I was running all over the outside of the tent and everywhere else. But let me tell you something, my friend. You can say all you want to, all the things you want to, but the salvation of God came through Jesus Christ. Jesus came down from heaven to this earth, lived our lives, walked in our shoes, and has gone back to glory. And the promise is he's coming again. Let me tell you something. You ain't seen the last of Jesus Christ. He showed the devil up when he got up out of that tomb, and they opened the door on the tomb. You say, well, they opened the door so he could resurrect. Honey, you missed the whole point. The door was opened on the tomb so that you could look inside and see that there wasn't nobody there. The door was open because he had resurrected and was in his glorified body. And when Mary turned around from looking in the tomb, there he stood in the garden, and he was glorified. Everywhere they looked, he was. And now, my friend, he's gone back to heaven. And they said, oh, that'd be the worst thing that ever happened for Jesus to leave us. He told them it'd be the best thing that ever happened. It would be better for him to leave them than to stay. Because if he stayed here, his body would just be in one place. But if he ascended into heaven and went to the Father. And what was the first thing that Jesus did when he got to heaven? He promised he'd do something. I'm going to talk to the Father for you. You see, Jesus knew what it was to live down here and to go through the sorrows and agonies of this life. And so he said, when I get to heaven, I'm going to pray the Father that he will send you another comforter, even the Spirit of truth. And my friend, aren't you glad the sweet Holy Ghost is in you today? Now let me tell you something. If you're a hateful, spiteful, mean-spirited person calling himself a Christian, That ain't the Holy Ghost. Might not be good English, but it's good theology. That ain't the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost never acts that way, my friend. That may be your flesh, that may be your family tree coming out or something, but my friend, the only thing that the Holy Spirit ever does is to bring you joy and peace and harmony with God. Amen? Amen. Methodist preacher preaching over Eggleston years ago, and you've heard me tell it, preaching about God's garden. Said God had all kinds of taters growing in his garden. Said he had commentators. Boy, I've met them. Said he had dictators. I've met them too. But he said the only thing that God really wanted to grow in his garden was sweet taters. And that's what God wants today with you, my friend. And you're complete in him. Everything you need. See, the Gnostics were teaching the Galatians, the Colossians, that they didn't have everything they needed. They had salvation, they had redemption. We have people today teaching, well, yeah, you might be saved, but you're just going to be in heaven as a guest of the Lord because you don't have all you need. Let me tell you something. Have you repented of your sins? Truly repented of your sins? You say, yes, sir, I have. Have you come to God and asked him for forgiveness and trust in his grace? Yes, I have. Have you followed him in water baptism, confessing that Jesus died and rose again? Have you received the communion, confessing the body and the blood of Christ? Have you in your life confessed Jesus as your only Lord and Savior and trusted him and been in him? And you say, yes, sir, I have. With everything I have, I believe in him, I trust in him, I hope in him. My friend, you can't get any more saved than you are. You can be filled with spiritual gifts. You can have everything you want. But don't you let the devil deny you the joy of your salvation. You feel like waving your hands and shouting hallelujah. You do it, my friend, because God Almighty has saved you by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's come to live in your life by the blood of the Lamb. And you don't have to trust in him. Why, I can remember the time that if our sleeves didn't reach our hands and our hair touched our ears, I stood out in front of a church one day at a funeral, and a holiness preacher came up to me and said, do you love me? And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, next time I see you, I don't want to see your hair touching your ears or the collar of your shirt. Said, there ain't no way you can make it like that. Another preacher come out and said, yes, if you keep getting your hair cut at a beauty salon, ain't no way in the world you can go to heaven. I thought, oh, Lord, you poor people. And they held up my hand and they held up my wedding ring. Fern and I bought that at Dowdy's Jewelers from Parisburg for $14. And we were just as happy as if we'd had a diamond from Mr. Trump's collection or something, you know. I don't even know if Mr. Trump has a diamond. I would assume Ilania does. But let me tell you something, my friend. Said, oh, let it not be the wearing of gold and the putting on of costly array and all that. And I thought, $14 little piece of gold, it represents our 53 years of marriage. My friend, I don't think I'm going to hell over a piece of something like that. And let me tell you something else. I'm not going to hell over anything except not knowing Jesus as my Savior. And I'm going to heaven because I do know him. And if that... I was preaching like this one Sunday, and Darlene, Andy's sister, was here. She jumped up and said, I told you he's a Baptist. I told you he was. Well, I'm a Baptist-costal. I'm saved by grace and happy enough to shout about it. I'm saved by grace and full of the Holy Ghost and fire and just ready to go at any time. You say, what are you waiting on? Just the Spirit to move or Jesus to come? And I don't care which one's first. Are you ready to go? You're complete in him, my friend. The price is paid. There's no more price to be paid. He died what? Once. For how many? For all. That's all people, all sins, all anybody. It's all over, my friend. The battle has been won, and Jesus Christ has put the powers and principalities of darkness to shame. Hallelujah. And the victory has been shown. And when he went through the air, my friend, there should have been a sonic boom all over the universe. It should have shook everything to its foundations because the perfect Son of God had ascended out of the grave and gone through the heavens and up before the throne of God and presented for the first time a human being in the flesh to stand in front of the throne of God. And let me tell you something. When he comes back, and I'm telling you, he's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. He said, I'm coming. So he has said right quick and right fast that he's coming again. But you know what? When he comes again, he's coming with nail prints in his hands and in his feet and a spear print in his side. Fanny Crosby said it years ago in a hymn, I shall know him. I shall know him by the prints of the nails in his hand. Hallelujah. How many of you met the Savior this morning? Oh, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Would you bow your heads and pray with me? Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gospel this morning. And Lord, I thank you that the gospel's not in the keeping of ordinances or the clothes we wear or anything like that. But I thank you that the gospel is in the blood of Jesus Christ that died on the cross and rose again from the dead to bring us into eternal life. Father, I pray you'll bless this audience this morning, the ones that are here in the flesh, those who may be listening on their cars, those who are listening by CDs, those who are listening on the radio someplace across the universe. Father, touch their hearts. The Holy Ghost and the Word of God have never lost its power and its punch. Father, we confess our faith in you, and we pray that your Spirit, God, will now go with us and keep us and draw us closer to you and save the lost. Bring back the backslider, renew the covenant of peace with them, Lord, and save the sinner, Lord, from hell. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.